With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 403, the box office report for the week ending August 19th.
I'm surprised, so you didn't change the name for Crazy Rich Asians like you did with The Meg?
Well, we haven't got to that movie yet.
Oh, maybe you do.
This is the box office
report. Oh, wow, okay.
And no, I did not. I will save you the trouble. First off, I have to come up with a new line at the end of every episode.
That's true.
That was a really
bad
idea on my part. Like, it was real cute.
Episodes 1 through
around
10.
Episode 9, I'm like, son of a bitch. What have I done? How long can this really go on,
There's
though?
No way we'll make it 400 episodes.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And so...
here we are, 403.
Yeah.
Feel our pain having to show up here 400 times. We're like,
But you haven't.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Okay. Pretty not close. All 400. So, yeah. So, it's just like, that's why when we split into two, I'm like, no. The box office report just gets a you've been warned.
You've been warned.
That's all you're getting. It's all you're getting. Not doubling my workload.
We're going to run out of spoilers at some point.
Yes.
But when we tell you the movie's coming up, at least half of the time, it's like, you've been warned is sufficient. You've said the name of the title of the movie.
Right.
And you're like, I got to legally put this warning out. Like, there may be someone might swerve into a ditch or something when they hear this review.
Have you sign a waiver.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
An NDA.
Right?
Yeah. Don't talk
Do
about
not
the
advertise right. Do not this advertise. Podcast.
Yeah,
we have one of those anyway.
Yeah apparently I think we do.
Except for a small league of show share.
Correct.
Give them credit where credit is
that
due.
Is fair. Like, that is fair. Yeah.
They're over there like, I promote the show every week.
Share it every week.
You ungrateful sons of bitches.
No, theirs is Do Not Abstain.
There's the NDA.
But that's...
NDA.
Yeah, but a DNA is Do Not...
But... It's NDA, but do not
that's, same letters.
Yeah.
Please carry on, Tom.
Kevin has,
continue.
Kevin has acronym dyslexia. Yeah.
Tom, we're running out of time. Please do the show shares.
He's like, let's move on from this.
Hey, so.
Mine just cut out too.
Is that better?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, way better.
Okay.
That's how babies are born. Just keep wiggling it.
Oh wow. Okay.
Just keep wiggling.
Just keep wiggling.
Just keep wiggling.
You'll get there eventually.
I don't want to have to pay Pixar, so can we just...
We said wiggle, not swim. Yeah. I can say the word swim.
Once you're done wiggling, that's when the swimming starts.
That's true, yeah. In debt.
Oh, I'm trying to reach this maraca. It's just too far and I'm too lazy to stand up.
Talking about the miracle of life.
Yeah, sure.
So...
We all have kids. We get it.
Yeah. Let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Once again, we are Danless.
Well, I mean, we had a good run.
Yeah. We had a good run.
Had a good little streak.
Won the summer.
Where was I at? Shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go
there. Doesn't listen. I don't care.
Yeah. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously. So, people who were kind enough to share the show this week: Librarian Cynthia, Jason Weesey, Lane LeVanway, Travis Tewitt, Susan Carlson, Chris Sanders, Griffin Foxsmith, Chris James, Timmy Tuzoons, Julianne Jordan, Tom Kaminsky, Tammy Sherman Powers, Chris Magic Man, Brent Smith, Ralph Tribble,
Uh-oh.
No, ignore that.
All right.
Put Librarian Cynthia on there twice.
Oh.
Brad Hyen, Brent Smith, Troy Anspaugh, and Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming.
So I guess our shower from last week was just like, this is all they're getting.
Yeah.
Just one.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do
no,
one
the
time.
New one?
Yeah.
Well, they heard that song and they're like, oh, is this every time? I bet just to be
never
safe.
Never mind.
Yeah. No, thank you. Speaking of Dustin and Nerds at Night Gaming, I ran into him over there.
Did you?
Yeah. At the St. Louis Pop Culture Con.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How was that?
Lots of quality time with the celebrities. I saw Dustin there because we were the only two in attendance. Well, no, his wife was with him.
So I did see pictures of you with Scott Baio.
Yes.
Oh, they gave him time off from the pizza shop?
Yeah.
That was nice.
But isn't he like a... He's a crazy right winger,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He's okay. A Pizzagate proponent. He's a...
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's like a...
I just thought he was just one of the outspoken celebrities, but he's...
He's one of those, like, super... He's
Earth
a,
is flat.
Yeah. I was surprised when you got your picture with him.
I did too.
My wife was like, I mean... The ladies love Scott Baio.
Hey, look, yeah. Man, he was a thing.
Yeah.
He was a big thing for a long time.
I was just like always online whenever he says anything, they're like, yeah, go back and check the fry order. Go back and check the fry. They're like, it's just, I mean, man, he gets a lot of crap online, but he's like spouting that extreme.
Well, for now until, I mean, they just shut down Alex Jones.
Well, I don't think, I mean, he's not on that level. I just mean he's probably was a listener.
Oh, you know? I think that's probably true.
He was very nice.
That's yeah. I mean, I think it's weird. Like, I think that these celebrities that are out as right wingers tend to do that.
They almost have to go the other direction.
They almost have to go the other direction. I think I've heard that Tim Allen can be a pain to deal with, but like if he's doing like a meet and greet,
right, he's on.
Well, yeah, if that's your bread and butter, if that's like what you're getting paid to do, or your
job,
and
honestly,
it's
something like this, you better be nice. Like people showed up, they're paying money to meet you.
Yeah,
like
right.
That's like, you know, they didn't come up to you in a restaurant. Like they're you know, you're
that's your job. To
you're
be
on
there
the clock
to get paid. Yeah,
yeah.
Like whenever people are like, oh, they were so nice. I mean, I totally get what you're saying, but then I'm like, well, yeah, you're paying them $50 to shake their hand. Like, they better be friendly or
right.
else.
I've definitely met people, like comic book artists, who are not nice.
Yeah, I was there next to you when we met one.
Oh, yeah, that's
you gotta
right.
You got to buy
yeah.
something.
Oh, my God. That was James Obar.
He was a nice guy. We talked to him for a little bit, but he was more like, yeah, I've talked to you all this time. That's
right.
Fine. But like, you know, buy
some.
And
I felt bad, so I was like, the sketchbook.
Well, see, but I'm like that. Like, there were some of them, and I'm like, I don't want to buy anything, so I'm not going to go up and talk to them. Like, I felt like that was, wait, even though, like, honestly, we got there at about 11:30 on a Saturday, and I would say there might have been 30 people there.
Yikes.
I mean, there were more celebrities than attendees when we were there.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, my gosh.
And so it was like, so I met Michael Paré.
That's
Eddie,
pretty cool.
Eddie and the Cruisers and Streets of Fire.
Streets of Fire. Let's be honest.
Eddie and the Cruisers.
It's like, that's a toss-up.
Really?
Like,
is there
both...
a Streets of Fire too? No.
Well, because there was no need to follow up that mask.
There was no demand to follow up.
Somebody.
But Eddie.
Diane Lane in that movie?
When I spoke with Michael Paré, let me break some news. When I spoke to Michael Paré, he told me. Because I talked to him for a good 20 minutes.
Because he didn't have anything else to do.
Because there was nobody around.
Not his fault.
No, he wasn't failing the whole thing. Yeah. But he said that they're actually like in early works to try and get another Eddie and the Cruisers going.
I could see that.
And it would be not a reboot.
But a continuation.
And he would play Eddie Wilson.
Yep.
And...
It's a Blumhouse special in the making.
And they're saying it's a TV show. That's what he said.
Oh, that could work.
And that he has a daughter who is trying to break into the music industry. And he's like, I'm going to show you what music's really like. And they tour the country like playing rock clubs.
Man, I would watch the crap out of
that.
And
I was like, that sounds kind of awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's the story that needs to, like, I don't need to see a reboot. But
right.
Seeing like old man Eddie. Relative, you know, for rock
and
roll.
And he still looks good.
He does look pretty good, yeah. But, like, having him tour and, like, you know, like the revival tour.
Right.
Yeah, that sounds pretty badass. Yeah.
Well, even in the movie, it's always a weird thing because, like, in the first one, it's always... I don't know if you've ever seen
it.
Yeah, so the first one is, you know, what happened to Eddie. It takes place in the 80s, but the band's from the 60s, and he just disappeared.
Right.
And then it ends with, like you see his reflection in a window and he's walking down the street and that's how it ends. And then the second one, Eddie and the Cruisers 2, Eddie Lives.
Bum, bum, bum.
Keeping score
at back in the spotlight.
Is he's trying to make it as an artist, but he won't tell anyone
who he is.
Who he is.
Oh, so he's going under a different.
Yeah.
And he's Chris Gaining it.
Yes. And so,
Does he have a soul patch?
Yeah.
Wicked soul patch.
But the second one was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Is it him too starring in the second one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's
cool.
But he doesn't do any of the singing. It's a different singer.
Yeah.
He's lip syncing to
John
Cafferty.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's all.
Oh, I didn't know that.
All those songs are John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
So the people that, the guy that gave you the Roadhouse soundtrack, right? Isn't he all over the Roadhouse soundtrack?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Dan would know. That was his deep fried taco.
And what else did he do? I think he did the theme for the Stallone movie Cobra, maybe.
Ooh, oh,
wow.
That's a great.
You had Joe at Cobra.
I love Cobra.
Is that the sunglasses, big aviators on
absolutely.
The front?
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah.
Leather
he's
jacket.
The, he's
or
basically
something.
The Punisher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
John Cafferty. He had a brief window there.
That's where he met Bridget Nielsen.
Oh,
it was on that movie.
How about that? Yeah. I don't think I've seen that since it was in theaters.
So it's
Brigitte?
Not good. Oh, Brigitte Nielsen.
Brigitte Nielsen.
Well, it depends if Flavor Flav says it.
Someone got a shout out on their 500th ride. Congratulations to Clip Out Crystal on her 500th ride, by the way.
Yes.
On a pike. On a Peloton bike.
Yeah. The number's way higher.
Okay. Now, can you not interrupt us? We need to do the. Tom is busy with this.
Yeah.
Nerd
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bike
so, yeah. So it was a fun event. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't have done the Scott Baio thing on my own, but Crystal wanted to. So I'm like, okay, that's
seeing,
fine. I make her do a lot of stuff that. She doesn't want to do
it. I almost pulled the trigger.
The 500th ride.
Knowing the big Kevin Nash was there.
Yeah.
Like, that was, I was close.
You could have hung out with him the whole day.
Oh.
There was like no, I mean.
That's crazy to me.
I would have met, Michael Pare would have been my number one, and I would have talked
to
him about
Streets of
Fire.
You wouldn't have met Super
Shredder? No.
You know who was great was, and I can't remember her name, but she was
Lisa Marie?
She was the model.
Oh.
That Tinkerbell was based on.
Oh yeah, I saw
no,
that.
She
I,
was
saw
there.
The, I saw the signing up there.
Holy cow!
So,
really?
Yeah.
Like I've seen the on the Blu-rays, like especially for like Peter Pan, they've got the behind the scenes and they show archive footage of them.
Yeah,
of
like
her modeling,
making her
Tinkerbell.
Do all the stuff and
wow.
like yeah, and so
now that's cool.
It was like talking to your grandma. She was super
really?
Nice. Yeah,
wow.
I mean not your grandma. She's kind
no,
of
my,
bitch, nice. But yeah, but other people's grandmas.
She's not nice.
Yeah, but
that's
she,
not true. She's
he's like just in
she
case
listens.
She ever listens.
Well, one has dementia and the other one's perfectly fine.
Your dad's like, Joe.
Yeah, I know. That's more the fear than anything.
Yeah.
But
36 years old, I'm still like, all right, Dad, sorry.
Yeah.
But, she was delightful. So we got, she had really nice pictures to get signed because it was like a picture of her doing like one of the things that Tinkerbell would do. And then there was a picture of the image from the movie of Tinkerbell.
Did they mocap? They didn't. I mean, obviously they can't mocap, but how did they?
Well, no, it was 1952.
No, I know, but like, how would if would they just like take
they use
pictures
them
of
as
her?
Models?
They would just draw them. They would look.
That's pretty cool.
See, we used to look at things.
All day. The person would stand there and model, and the artist would just draw based on looking at them.
Yeah,
man, oh man.
And then they would
get
sometimes go and
$3.
They would sometimes film. You know, they would film them, and then they could watch the film reels and draw to it. But like, they would hire them for a full day just to model like a art class or something.
Yeah.
You would think that gal would have like a more higher profile because there can't be many of those left. I mean, for the Disney nerds at least.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure. It's just, I mean, but it's obscure. I mean,
I guess that's true.
You know what I mean?
It's,
like,
yeah, it's a pretty deep cut.
It's,
yeah.
But that's awesome. Like, see, I would have loved to have met her. Now, was she wearing the outfit? Is the question.
Okay, you need to dial it down. We know where Kevin's thing is, right? Or Katie.
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, every day I get home, I got to put on this goddamn outfit.
Yeah, there's glitter everywhere.
Put my hair in a pecan bun.
Thanks, Joe.
Just one.
Okay.
So
that's the PG-13 one.
Yeah, it's the PG-13 one.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Not uses a verb. It's
correct.
Okay, yeah.
Correct.
So
totally cool.
If you ever get a chance, which, I mean, of course, you'll have a chance at some point, but go listen to the interview with Michael Pare on, of course, How Did This Get Made?
That's who did it?
They did. So How Did This Get Made? Every episode has Yeah. It's Blake Harris, right? That does interviews with the directors, the actor, you know, whoever he can get this closest involved to answer, how did this movie get made? And so for his, I think the very first one of his spinoffs where the whole episode, you know, it's longer, and it's on Stitcher Premium.
I think it was, but it wasn't
when they debuted it. Cause I think his very first spinoff where they do the full long interview as a episode, was with Michael Paré. And it's just a fascinating interview because he goes back and talks about it. And of course, as I mentioned, it's a very young Diane Lane in Streets of Fire. You know, she was like 17 when they.
He also told me that he was like, oh man, he's like Diane Ladd, right?
Lane.
Okay, I got mixed up.
Randy said Ladd for some reason.
Okay,
I was commenting, but I just said Lane because I didn't know if he. Yeah.
But he was like, oh
yeah.
He's like, he goes, he was like, I would have totally hit on her, but she was only like 17.
Yeah, like,
and he was like, he goes, one of my great regrets is that he's like, I was so in love with her, and she was too young. Like, yeah. He's like, just couldn't.
I think she filmed and like she didn't go out with them. He talks about the story, like they would go out and they would, you know, the cast would go out together and grab a beer and they were close, and you know, maybe like Willem Dafoe didn't hang out with them, but like him and the other,
he's such a weird
principal, like, but they would all hang out and everything. But I think it's like, they weren't hanging out with her. She did her thing and then left.
She had to go back to school.
She had to go to school. Right. Yeah.
But like, it's just a fascinating story about that. And I love that movie. And to hear the behind the scenes and what it was like, it's really cool. So look that
up. There is a beautiful Shout Select put out a fantastic collector's edition.
Yeah.
That it is. I mean, if you want the interviews, the commentaries.
It's the only Blu-ray there is.
It's so good.
In the last year, they just released it on Blu-ray.
There's a foreign one.
That Shout Factory one, like they.
But if you want to get in the States, you know, like even Walmart sells, it was pretty cheap last time I checked because I ordered it online, I think on Amazon.
It
was like $30. But then Walmart had it on sale, you know, again, Shout. There's only one version. It was like $23. I'm like, are you kidding me? Walmart with a Shout released for $20.
Mine on Amazon for like $20 because I bought that.
Well, I got it the week it came out.
Yeah, so, I got it like a week ago so I could have them sign it.
But I'm like, Streets of Fire on Blu-ray, what? You know,
But I picked up Eddie and the Crew. Cruisers, which is on Blu-ray, is a two-pack. You get both movies.
Well, because nice. They know.
Nobody's ever going to buy that second one.
They can pad the price $2, but they can actually sell that one.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you what. The Shout Factory and the Scream Factory, when they get the license to that stuff, they go all out on the extras. I mean, those are some beautiful Blu-rays.
Yep.
So there's all your shameless plugs. You can also go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, join the group, the League of Show Sharers, and you stay up to date on us throughout the week, and our Patreon account, patreon.com/RealSpoilers, where for the low price of $5 a month, you'll get all sorts of extra bonus content, and we will like you even more.
Correct.
Yep, sounds good.
So there's all of that. We will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom, and looks like the number one movie of the week is the movie of the week, and it exceeded expectations, so
that
good for this movie.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
And I was on the record last week I think this movie's going to overperform.
Yep, and the other one underperformed, so it was a good choice. And after watching the movie, I would say it was definitely a good choice.
Oh yeah.
Crazy Rich Asians made an estimated $23.6 million, estimated to make $18 million. So $5 million over the analyst's expectations. And I guess it came out limited.
No, it opened on Wednesday.
It was a 5-day release. I'm sorry. Okay. So it made a 23. Okay. Well, this is even crazier then. It made $32 million.
Oh, wow.
5-day. It was estimated to make $18 million 5-day.
Yeah.
So it doubled expectations.
Yeah, damn near doubled it.
Yeah.
So we'll get into the number three movie, which was its other competitor. Yeah.
And that movie's going to have legs.
Oh, my gosh. That is going to be the new My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah, I think Dan's analogy was spot on. This movie's going to have legs.
We're going to be seeing this in the at least, maybe not in the top 10, but in the top 15.
Yeah.
Probably until after Christmas,
because it's so
universal.
Yeah, it's very like middle of the road.
Yeah.
Like I don't even mean that as an insult, but like
it's easy to go see.
But it's also something like you can take your grandma to,
sure,
and you can, or you could take a 13-year-old to.
No,
like
it's very
and so. Yeah, how we talk about how movies that target older people, like they they have a longer shelf life because they don't run out to the movie theater. I think you'll see that with this movie, that older people will, like, you'll see, I think you'll see a good week two and three and four as they're like, oh, we should go see that now.
And this is a great date night movie.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be the date night movie. So all the people that saw it this weekend are going to tell people it was great. And then it's going to be date night this next weekend. Then they'll tell people it'll be their date
night. It helps that it's not super mushy. Like, it is not like a typical
it's
romantic.
It's not a Nicholas Sparks type where it's like, this is going to turn off the guys. Like, oh, I have to go see this. Like, there's the comedy. I mean, we'll obviously get into it. But you're right. It's not stuck in a box, which is nice.
Like, your boyfriend or husband will be like, ugh. Yeah.
It's been a while, I feel like, since there's been just a straight up romantic comedy.
I can't remember the last one that has been out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
Shaun
really
the Dead. No, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm really trying to think, like, that wasn't either like a Nicholas Sparks movie or
they're so contrived every movie.
Yeah,
that,
or some really high concept sort of thing.
It's been those teen. It's been the young adult romance movies.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
There's The Fault in Our Stars and all that kicked off.
But there's no comedy element to those.
Right.
Like, those are all super.
Right. Or Nicholas Sparks, where it's just like, you know.
It used to be once a year you'd get a Matthew McConaughey type of, you know.
Matthew McConaughey or Billy Crystal or Tom Hanks, I feel like that's the heyday of that romance.
Right, those were the good ones.
That kicked it off.
Yeah, Mel Gibson, like What Women Want, and
Men Want. The preview I saw it. Before this trailer.
Is it Mel Gibson?
Crazy Rich? No. Oh. Before this trailer, it's I think it's a black movie. Like, I mean, you know what? I think they reboot it with like it's almost an all
it's
black
the same
cast.
Premise as What Women Want.
What Men Want. And
is it just a porn?
No, but it's the woman gets this power, and I think I can't remember. She's part of maybe a clinical research thing or something. I can't remember, but something happens to her, and then all of a sudden she starts hearing men's thoughts.
I feel like
this is
a Tiffany Haddish movie.
She would never talk to another man.
No.
But I, you know, when I was watching the trailer, I turned to my friend John, and I was like, oh, so it's What Men Want. You know, and then it literally came on the screen, like, oh, they're rebooting What Women. Okay, it is. It's literally called What Men Want.
I mean, that was, who was the woman in that? Was it Helen Hunt?
Helen Hunt. I get her and Jodie Foster confused, especially with Mel Gibson, because they're close. So, like, I'm just Jodie Foster's tight?
She's really tight.
She was a defender from the beginning. Yeah, they're really good friends.
She was like, he shouldn't have said it, but that's not who he is. And,
interesting.
But yeah.
And he was just like,
well, they were in Maverick together.
Isn't that Bridget Fonda? That's who I get confused.
No.
Is Bridget Fonda and Jodie Foster.
No, Jodie Foster was the
it was the
girl in that.
Mel Gibson and
James Garner.
James Garner and Jodie Foster.
I love that movie.
I've never seen it.
Oh, yeah. Check it out.
It's good
fun.
Stuff.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Was it supposed to be a continuation of the show? Or
I can't
like,
tell you that.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Check it out. Yeah. So anyway, Crazy Rich Asians totally exceeding expectations, and I didn't realize they were giving me a 3-day numbers. Like, just the fact that they're 5-day doubled.
Here's the other thing that we'll get into is like, there. When was the last time you had a movie with an Asian lead?
Hold that thought.
Yep.
So
that's the question. We'll get into it.
$32.3 million 5-day, again doubling the expectations on a $30 million budget, and it's gonna have legs, like you said.
Hell yeah!
So congratulations to that movie, and it definitely deserves it. So we'll get into that next. Number two, The Meg, another movie from Warner Brothers, that made $20.5 million on its second week in release.
They figured out the romantic comedy and the giant action movie
scene,
but they can't figure out
what's next.
Yeah, I know.
Giant romantic shark movie.
But they can't figure out their superhero stuff to save their life.
Bumping fins.
Yeah.
So $20.5 million, a 55% drop. The Meg is now at $83 million domestic.
That's what Aquaman's going to be.
Yeah. that's $83 million domestic. You know this movie is made for the overseas market, though. It's already made $154 million. So over $220 million on a $130 budget in 2 weeks. So it's, I mean, there's its money back right there.
Yeah.
And
yeah, if you like Chinese cast, this is your golden age.
Right now, you're doing all right.
Yeah. Number three, Mile 22, the other new movie of the week, the Marky Mark, Peter Berg, they're like inseparable.
Well, I think
maybe not after this.
Yeah. Peter Berg is Marky Mark's Chris McQuarrie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so this movie was estimated to make $17 million on a 3-day, where Crazy Rich Asians was $18 million on a 5-day. Crazy Rich Asians doubled its, yeah. and then this came in at 14.2, 3 million under its expectations. So I heard it's
all that Ronda, horrible. It's all that Ronda Rousey
it's
money.
It's bad.
I heard it's really so bad. Yeah.
Damn.
It's a hot mess of a movie.
Yeah.
It's mercifully short.
I heard the action scenes are bad, too.
Some of the fight scenes were okay.
Like, I heard they have a really good stunt choreographer.
Well, it's the guy from The Raid.
Yeah, it's the guy from The Raid, but they're like, they edited it to, like, not to be terrible.
Yeah, it was weird because it was, the fight scenes, I felt like, hey, they're really doing stuff, but they're not showing it.
Did you see The Raid?
No, I did not.
Okay.
And then the story was just a muddled mess. They're like some, you know, covert team.
It's 16 blocks, right?
But 16 blocks wasn't military. It was a police.
No,
thing.
He was a detective.
Yeah. No, this is so there's, you know, they're in some, you know, nondescript foreign country. You just need to know that it's Fern. And then it's like he's giving some sort of testimony in some room, but it's this really like kind of preachy monologue. But
who's giving that?
Marky Mark.
Oh, okay.
And but like I don't even really fully understand what he was trying to preach about. Like, and he would use buzzwords that are in the news, like Russians and collusion,
fake news.
Yeah, but it's like I couldn't even tell like if this movie had an opinion on that. It was so weird.
Huh. He's such a. I feel like Peter Berg is a good director. Like The Rundown's great. Patriot Day is great. Lone Survivor.
Friday Night Lights?
It is him. Yeah, Friday Night Lights is fantastic. But then he's got some other weird ones in there where it's just like swing and a miss.
Battleship
is one of them.
The Thunderstruck scene in Battleship.
He knows how to direct it. That's
great.
The thing. Is like,
I mean,
the guy knows
you
how
won't
to direct
stop talking about it. It must be one of your favorite scenes.
I remember watching the movie and it went, and I was like, this is cheesy as all get out, but God damn, it works.
I love it when movies remind you they can be fun.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, we've obviously
Battleship
seen.
Battleship had no reason to take itself as seriously as it did.
Yeah. No, that movie's bad. He's just talking about that scene, right? Yeah. I mean, the movie's bad.
Yeah. But that scene, you know, have you seen?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That scene's great.
That's
though.
With the real veterans.
They're like, you know, for people who haven't seen the movie, which is probably most people. So it's
Rihanna and Taylor Kitsch, right?
Liam
Neeson?
Black Hole of Charisma.
Is Liam Neeson a general on the ship?
I think he might have played a Battleship. Yeah. and it's like aliens are attacking
it had to do with aliens?
Yeah.
I don't even remember. Oh
yeah, like,
God.
Yeah, it was kind of like it wanted to be Transformers, but with battleships. And so there's a scene towards the end of the movie where like they can't defeat these aliens and they're kicking their ass. And I think
Rowdy Roddy Piper.
No, I know.
Memory serves, like they figure out that it's like they're honed in on modern technology. And so anything we're doing with computers, they're going
to
figure out. And
you
want to
call the old.
And so they were like, we need to fire up a battleship.
The USS
like,
Missouri or one of
those? Something like that. Like an old school World War II battleship.
And they get all the veterans.
But the problem is, nobody knows how to fucking run one. Sorry.
And good Lord.
So they find a bunch of old dudes.
Yeah.
And they're like legit real life old dude World War II vets.
Oh.
And you can see like, it was really cool to see. Because you could see like, they were loving every goddamn minute of making this. They're back in their uniforms. They're loading the fucking torpedoes. It was beautiful
to
watch.
This is how much he loves this movie. I'm telling you.
It was beautiful to watch. And like, and then they're doing this all to AC/DC's Thunderstruck.
That's a good song.
And it was
a perfect song.
It was pretty badass. Like, it was great. It's like, it's worth going
to find that scene.
Fast forward to that scene to watch these old guys relive their glory days of killing Nazis back before killing a Nazi was a controversial decision.
Yeah,
right.
Who knew?
Like, yeah,
yeah.
So, but yeah, it's totally worth it for that one scene.
Did you now, see? Go ahead.
I mean, how often do you hear Tom get excited? Like, you know, you need to watch this scene because this is a rare occasion.
Yes.
Like, if he's not talking about the monkeys, right. Or you know, what?
Did you see that they wanted Wahlberg in Justice League?
as
Hal Jordan. He was gonna show up. The producer is not Snyder, but like that scene where like the flashback scene where they're fighting, like that was supposed to be the introduction of the Green Lantern, right?
Okay.
Where like the the Atlanteans and the Amazons and the Green Lantern show up to fight Steppenwolf for the first time and make the stupid three cubes.
Yeah.
Right. So there was there's a Green Lantern in that scene.
Right.
So Hal Jordan was going to show up at the end at like what I miss. And it was good. Like, there's a picture of Mark Wahlberg in a production office, and he's got like the longer hair. He's jacked to the gills, like more so than usual. And behind him are all of the headshots.
Jacked to the gills, he should play Aquaman.
That would make sense. Yeah. But behind him are all of the headshots of the Justice League. And like the guy that he's in the office with was like one of the costume designers or like producers on Justice League. And they're like, they wanted him in this movie.
All right. Well,
and okay. Luckily he dodged that.
Yeah. Anyway, unfortunately he didn't dodge this one. So we'll see what happens with their bromance, filmmaking relationship here.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
I mean, but I'm done. Like, Patriots Day was so good.
I'm done
with these generic non-Michael Bay, like, you know, like knockoff Michael Bay type
movies. I
feel
like Berg is kind of like Michael Bay light.
Yeah.
Like,
he has not that Michael Bay look.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, as much crap as we give Michael Bay, his movies make over $1 billion and like he knows how to make those bombastic Michael Bay type scenes.
Battleship was definitely Michael Bay light. That movie wanted to be Transformers so bad it could taste.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did see the trailer. Did you see the trailer for Bumblebee?
Mm-hmm. It looks better.
It looks better than I anticipated.
Go smaller. Yeah, it looks. I like that. And when they're like, it's John Cena, I'm like, oh God, he's going to be the Mark Wahlberg character in every scene. It looks like he's just some military dude.
It looks like he's the guy who's
like,
chasing.
Yeah, and you might see him in like five scenes or something. You know, like, that's better because I'm not a John Cena acting fan.
He's not very good.
Yeah, and so I thought, oh God, I mean, this is like, it's a Transformer all over again. Like, I did not need John Cena in the whole thing. But no, it looks like, is it Hailee Steinfeld?
It is Hailee Steinfeld.
Who's great. She's the little girl in True Grit, and she's had a music career. We talked about it. She has focused more on music, but like, she's great, and it's her and Bumblebee, and it's the origin, and I like how he's a Volkswagen again.
Yeah.
It's his origin. Yeah. No, he's not a Camaro.
He doesn't have a voice box.
It's interesting.
So we're back to
chose
the...
to do that again, I guess, because people thought it was so
continuity,
funny.
Continuity, Kevin. Continuity. Well, because he doesn't have a voice box when we see him in Transformers.
Well, right, but usually in an origin, you would show how he got to that point. No. I'm like, okay, but anyway, it looks fun. I hope that it's decent, but it's not Michael Bay either.
It's not Michael Bay. I think it's produced.
Well, of course it is. When he says Transformers, he makes $3 million. Like, that dude is tied down to that franchise. But anyway, Mission Impossible Fallout's number 4 with $11.5 million in week 4. That's a 41% drop, $181 million domestic. And Joe, overseas?
What was the movie? I'm sorry.
Mission Impossible 6.
I'm going to say $500
million. $500 million? Close, $300 million about. Right. So, I mean, it's making some decent money. It's approaching the $500 million worldwide mark on a $178 million budget.
Speaking of Green Lantern.
How insane
would that be?
I mean, at this point, though, seriously, like, if anyone can save it, like, I mean.
So, you know the deal, right? So, in the original script, Hal Jordan was going to die. And he was going to mentor a young Jon Stewart. Hal Jordan dies, and then John Stewart's Green Lantern.
You're not killing off Tom Cruise from anything.
That's why he hasn't signed on yet.
Yeah.
It's because they're reworking. He's like, if you want me, Hal Jordan lives.
He's like, Tom Cruise, if you want me, I'm making 9 of these things.
Right. And I mean, Tom Cruise has never died in a movie, right? I mean, you don't kill off Tom Cruise.
Isn't dying born on 4th of July?
I don't think so. I think the real actor was still the inspiration of the story was still alive.
Now, like The Last Samurai, I don't remember. Does he die at the end of that? Because that's a war thing.
That's a good movie.
But I mean, you don't kill off Tom Cruise, and especially the franchise vehicle Tom Cruise, and like, he wants another
one. He's like, look, I'm not putting any new guy over. Like, this is going to be, this is me.
But honestly, though, I mean, you see him with the action stuff in the Mission Impossible. Like, if anyone can do it.
They're talking about McQuarrie being the director.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be fine giving
McQuarrie,
it a shot. Because, I mean, look at what they've done so far. Like,
those movies haven't lost money.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Technically, he does die in Live, Die, Repeat.
That's true. That's true.
Wow, you got me there. That's for sure.
Dies
you got
lot.
Me there.
Dies over and over again.
So anyway, that movie approaching $500 million. So good for that one, and we'll see how that continues to stay in the top 10 as we are out of summer here. Number 5, Disney's Christopher Robin with another $9.4 million. That's a 27% drop. I mean, that is the family movie out, so it's continuing its reign at the box office. $67 million, 12 overseas. So I mean, it can't be rolled out in most of the other countries, because I would think that this in England and Ireland.
It's a big property in England, though.
Yeah, I mean, because it's a. I mean, so the guy that wrote it is British, right? A.A. Mills.
Yeah, like A.A. Milne.
He's a British guy. I think Winnie the Pooh is really popular over there. I'm guessing it just hasn't rolled out completely, but it only has 12 right now overseas. But anyway, continue to make money here. So it's about $80 million on undisclosed budget. And I forget. I mean, I think the last few weeks we found it somewhere. 80, 70, they retroactively
like
made it 70.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Like, it was 75, and I think it's 70 now or something like
just
that.
Doing some quick research here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Tom Cruise does not die in The Last Samurai.
Yeah, I didn't think he did.
I just thought if he was going to be heroic.
What's that?
Did you see that?
No.
That's a good flick.
I'm on a message board, people talking about it. But he, they're saying he dies in Collateral?
Oh, he might. Oh, he's the bad guy. He's the bad guy in that.
I guess technically he was dead in Interview with a Vampire.
But do you ever see him
no.
die? You don't see him become Lestat, right?
He would be undead.
He was already the vampire.
He kills the guy at the end, so he's right.
No, but I'm saying like he was.
No,
never
I know what you're saying.
Alive.
I'm just saying like he's alive at the end of the movie, which is the most current timeline. Alive as a vampire.
Yeah, where
so
he, kills,
he doesn't get killed.
Spoilers
off.
When he bites Christian Slater, yeah. Not Jack Nicholson.
Yeah. And what's the name of the movie?
Of what?
Of that movie?
Interview with a Vampire.
Interview with what?
A vampire.
Nope.
Is it just Interview Vampire?
Nope.
It's Interview with the
Vampire.
Oh, really?
It's another one of those Mandela things.
Yeah.
I didn't know
Everyone
that.
Says Interview with a Vampire because it just it flows that way. It's Interview with the Vampire.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so, he's anyway. Lestat, right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's
the bad one. Brad Pitt's the good one.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, a very young, is it Kirsten Dunst? Is the girl?
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's the,
that's
she
her
the
first
youngest?
Movie, I think.
Yeah,
but
she's tiny.
She won an Academy Award for that.
Wow.
I don't
look
think
it up.
That's true.
Look it up.
Look it up, Tommy. Look it up.
Oh,
look
and,
it up, Tommy.
To
look
close
it
out
up.
Our Tom Cruise dies,
yes.
He dies in taps.
Well, that doesn't count. Well, I guess it does.
That's tap
it
dancing
counts.
Takes a toll. I mean, your heart rate's up if you don't practice. I
that's
mean,
true. Yeah, it's tough.
I mean, if I tried to tap dance right now, I might not.
He doesn't
make it.
Die in The Outsiders? I guess not.
Yeah, I don't know. That's another. That's the one. That's a star. Packed,
yeah.
Ralph Macchio, absolutely.
Oh, but it's Patrick Swayze,
Tom Cruise,
Rob Lowe.
God, there's so many people.
Thomas
Howell,
or is it Donnie? No, it's not Donnie Osmond. It's Michael. Yeah,
C. Thomas Howell,
and Ralph Macchio.
Yeah, wow. It's
Emilio Estevez.
Yep. And I mean, that is one where it's like, geez, every one of those outsiders.
Well,
became a Hollywood insider.
They did.
yeah.
After a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them, not so much anymore.
Any luck on Kirsten Dunst?
I'm still trying to
find
it.
So Christopher Robin, I saw it. It's a cute movie.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's quiet, as Tom said. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, it's slow or it's boring. And it's like, but, you know, the thing is, you're not going to a Winnie the Pooh movie for an action-packed, insane adventure. Like, if you've seen the cartoons, they're very quiet. And this movie is good. The story is just like Hook. You haven't seen it, right?
No.
Okay. The story is just like Hook, and I rewatched Hook with my wife over the weekend.
Did you lose a bet?
I love Hook. And because she was like, yes, let's watch that. But I'm like, if you think about it, it's the exact same story. The plot beats are the same. And so, you know, like just like the old Peter Pan, forgetting he's Peter Pan, and it's like Christopher Robin grows up. He forgets about Winnie the Pooh, and he has to rediscover it. And then,
but
at the end,
he
it's like
it's not like he forgets that he hung out with Winnie the Pooh.
He
just
he does.
Grows.
He totally forgets about him. Like he doesn't even.
No, I mean he. I mean, like in Hook,
he's left it behind. Where in Hook, he didn't.
He
even
doesn't even remember.
That he was Peter Pan.
It's like a blank spot that he was Peter Pan.
That's true. But yeah, but I mean, he does. Until
this
he sees
more,
the,
he's outgrown it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I still feel like until he sees the picture,
no,
he
totally
forgets him.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, and so it follows the same beats. And then, of course, I mean, spoilers, but of course, at the end, it's like, oh, family's important, not work. I mean, it's the exact same story.
It's
but,
all fun and games. So you got to pay your bills.
Yeah. So it's a really sweet movie. It's a good family movie. It's wholesome for kids. Lots of laughs. Like Winnie the Pooh's tumbling around and breaking stuff. And like, that's clearly for the kids to like keep them engaged, like where me and Kate, you're like, oh my god, we're so stressed because he's breaking things left and right. It's so like anxiety packed.
Yeah.
But for the kids, I'm sure it's like, woo, that's funny.
Break stuff.
Yeah.
Don't break stuff.
Yeah,
kids.
Exactly. And so, but yeah, it's a cute movie. And then last night I saw Black Klansman.
Oh, how was
go
it?
Go see that.
Oh, that's
really
good.
Dang,
it's really good.
It's really good. You got to see that. It's you know the
did
thing.
Did you use your movie pass?
It was not on MoviePass yesterday.
Weird.
So I will say that. Surprisingly enough, that was not one of the six movies available, two of which were in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. Really?
MoviePass now every day. So it's not even like this week because movies come out on a weekly basis. Yeah. This week it's these six. No, daily it's these six, and two of the six were even showing.
I'm so glad I canceled that.
Yeah.
And it's such a shame. Like, they had such a good model, yeah, a good idea, but...
And then two out of the two of six movies that were even showing, then they pick like two show times for each one. It is a sham. Like, they're basically like, yeah, you can use this, but don't use it. Like, I mean, it's so hard. They're making it so hard to use it. That's the plan, right? But anyway, Black Klansman's good and it's based on a true story. And the thing is that we talked about it before it came out, but like, it's not, it doesn't feel like a traditional Spike Lee movie. There's definitely the Spike Lee influence.
He's
like,
he's really dialed down, yeah, a lot of his kind of go-to,
yeah,
like cinematic techniques. Yeah. There's a little bit.
I can't believe the last shot of the movie, he squeezed that dolly shot in.
I know, right?
There was not a dolly shot the entire movie, and literally, the last scene is, yeah, a dolly shot.
Well, he had to get in there.
I'm like, oh, I forgot about it, and I'm like, oh my God, yeah, there it is. So, and something I found interesting, and I don't know if a listener can correct me, I don't know if you guys would remember this, but there's a guitar riff that runs through the entire movie, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that same guitar riff is in the score for Inside Man. And I thought it was really weird because I rewatched Inside Man recently. And so I could be mistaken, but I mean, I know I've heard this before I saw the movie, and I'm pretty sure that's it. And it's another Spike Lee movie. It would make sense. And I'm like, wow, for the score, did they just like reuse something from Inside Man? I just found it funny because it follows the entire movie and they slow it down when they want to get more dramatic. But like, it's the same guitar riff that follows throughout this movie. And I just found it interesting that I think I'm like, that's from, yeah, Inside Man. So I'm sure he has the same guy doing the score in both.
And, yeah, he might.
And maybe,
yeah,
he just chose this selection. But anyway, really good movie. It's very funny. You know, if you don't know, it's about an undercover black police officer that infiltrates the KKK.
But it's also serious. It's serious. There are certainly moments that are funny.
Yeah.
But it's
not a comedy.
It's not a comedy.
No. But
time,
but
yeah.
I mean, they keep it. The story's so interesting, but right, then it's funny too.
Right.
Where I will tell you what, the time at the theater flew by.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen some snoozers lately and some movies that felt a little overly long. Like, could have lost 10 or 20 minutes. But like this movie, you sit down and you watch this and it's over and you're like, wow.
Yeah. You wish there was more.
It's a great way to spend, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'm hopefully gonna, yeah, get to. I need to, like. Yeah. That's a given.
And an eye opener at the end because they include some real footage. So,
oh, sure.
It's a gut punch.
Well, that's another one of his.
Yeah.
He does that a lot.
But yeah.
It was effective here. Sometimes it's kind of like, we did it. But yeah.
Yeah. No, but this one, yeah, it's a gut punch because, you know, how quickly we forget, but like events of just a year ago. And
right.
This is a movie from what, the 60s or 70s?
70s.
70s, okay. And yeah, it's like, here's some footage from a year ago.
Yep.
Wow.
So, yep.
Anyway, Tom, did you find the, yeah, Kirsten Dunst trivia?
No. Was she nominated?
No. She was nominated for a Golden Globe, which is almost like winning an Oscar.
Sure. I could have sworn she, like, I remember
but
her
you
being...
you know, horror, quote-unquote horror movies, how quickly they are to
give out. Yeah, I feel like,
out,
that Anne Rice stuff kind of gets a pass because it was...
I don't know.
All right.
Good
but
movie. I like it.
It was nominated for Best Art Direction.
Okay. Yeah.
And Best Music, yeah, Original
Good looking
score.
Movie, good cost. Yeah. I mean, oh, yeah. I like it. I think it's a good
Antonio
movie.
Antonio Banderas.
Yeah. Christian Slater.
Christian
Mr.
Slater.
Mr. Robot himself.
I love Christian Slater.
I know. I've watched True Romance the last couple nights, like going to bed. Like,
he's great.
I love that movie, but
Gleaming,
you know,
the Cube.
Gleaming,
man.
The Cube. Yeah. What was the one where he worked at a radio station? Where he was full on Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, totally. Wow.
Oh,
was
my
Pump
God.
Up the Volume.
Pump, yeah, Up the Volume. I
always
want to
call it Talk Hard. Which is what they should have called
he
it.
He so could play a young Jack Nicholson.
Oh, my
he
God.
Has
he
that,
and Heathers?
Been, yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't,
yeah,
that crazy? When,
he,
like, his,
he's been doing a Jack Nicholson,
yeah,
impression,
oh,
since,
yeah,
1988.
He has the look. He has the cadence and the delivery. Yeah. Like, he, yeah, just, oh, my gosh. Yeah.
If you ever, hey, Jack, can you play this part? No. Christian Slater, what are,
yeah,
you doing?
As he gets
all
older,
right,
you know, it's like he can fill those roles.
Yeah. We, when I was, when Heathers came out, we saw it like a million times. Yeah.
Sure.
And yeah, we were just like, oh, totally Jack Nicholson.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to do a thing with my friends where it was like, if Heathers took place in a grade school.
Yeah.
And it was like, Jesus Christ, Veronica, half the kids in this school are either crying because they can't find left-handed scissors or eating paste.
That's, nice.
That's pretty good.
And scene. Yeah. Like, if you ever get a chance, Heathers the Musical, amazing.
Weird.
I've never seen it.
No, amazing.
Yeah.
It is so funny. I mean, it's the same story, but it makes a perfect musical. I think with the success of movies like Legally Blonde, the musical, Bring It On, the musical, written lyrics by Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, really?
Very good. Yeah.
Huh.
The Heathers is a perfect fit for a musical, and it's really good. So, anyway, coming in at number six.
Would you say it's Big Fun?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would.
What does that mean?
That's the band that they all are obsessed with.
I would. I would say that.
There was actually a local band in St. Louis called Big Fun.
Really?
Coincidentally.
I'm sure he was just like, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's their moment.
Yeah, right.
Number six, Alpha, the movie critics are calling the surprise hit of the summer. I only say that because every commercial on Hulu is for Alpha.
That's true. Yeah.
The movie the critics are calling the surprise hit of the summer.
That PETA is torpedoing because
really?
They think that animals were actually hurt on set.
Oh, gee. Are you telling me that they use real animals in this movie?
Apparently.
I thought it's like CG wolves in it. Like,
no.
Or they get dogs that look like wolves.
No,
it's
I
about
think,
the first like
I
dogs,
think, I think,
wolves.
Yeah, I think that there are actual wolves or dogs
that,
on the,
that
on
are
set.
Like related to
yes.
wolves. That, yeah,
yeah,
have that look. Like
they're
okay.
dire wolves.
Oh yes, dire the dire wolf, the elusive dire wolf. Anyway, Alpha made $9.1 million, which I think is surprising, but you know it is what critics are calling surprise hit of the summer. So $9.1 million on that one on an undisclosed budget.
It was more than. They would have liked to have paid for it.
Coming in at number seven, the aforementioned Black Klansman with $7 million. That's a 35% drop. That is now at $23 million in its second week in release. Don't have any money really overseas for it, but it had a $15 million budget. So, and that's one that I think will also have some sticking around power. I mean, it's not like a four quadrant hit, so it's not going to make a ton of money,
right.
But I still feel like it's going to stick in the middle to, you know, the top 10 for a little bit as people talk about it.
That's Blumhouse, isn't it?
No, it's Focus.
It's a Focus.
Jordan,
okay. Jordan Peele
is producing
Jordan,
it, but
Jordan,
yeah, it's not with Blumhouse.
And supposedly when they hired Spike Lee, Jordan Peele was like, you need to make this funnier.
Yeah, because Joe told the story last week.
Oh, is that where? Okay, never mind.
Do you know that, Joe?
Did you know that, Joe?
Yes, I did. Yes.
That's great. Number eight.
I'm getting old. I can't remember where I hear things.
That's all right. Number eight, Slender Man. You know, I think that it's really dropping in the box office because we said it should have been a Slender Woman. I don't
know
why it had all these Slender
that.
Men.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, Slender Man, $4.4 million, a 61% drop. And also the only movie you can see on MoviePass, basically.
Oh my
so
God.
I'm sure, I mean, literally, it has never not been available.
Yeah.
So it's always like you can see Mamma Mia 2 and it's fifth week in release or Slender Man.
Those
and
are
now,
your options.
And now it's literally now it's Alpha or Slender Man.
That's
like
ridiculous.
So they obviously
what a,
have some deal worked
yeah,
with them.
What a
where,
joke.
So anyway, Slender Man, so making all that movie pass money, $4.4 million, 61% drop.
What's left of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's up to $20 million on a $10 million budget.
All
so
right.
I mean it's making its money back, but it's not setting the world ablaze or anything. So,
so it's making a slender profit.
A slender profit.
Very
wow.
slender
yeah.
profit.
Slender.
Yes, yes. Hotel Transylvania 3, Summer Vacation, on the other hand, making a ton of money. That comes in at number 9 with a 31% drop in week 8. $153.7 million domestic, another $232 million plus overseas. So it's approaching $400 million worldwide on an $80 million budget. So it continues to be a cash cow for Sony Animation. It's about really all they have over there.
Yeah, they don't
have much else. They've got a couple of little properties, but this is definitely their franchise. And rounding out the top 10, speaking of movies we've talked about briefly here, Mamma Mia, here we go again.
We talked about an hour for it. Talked about it for an hour.
Still making money in week 5, $3.5 million, a 40% drop. People are loving it, $111 million domestic now, and $184 overseas.
Woo!
It's huge. So, you know, approaching almost double its domestic gross overseas. So, yeah, it's almost $300 million worldwide on a $75 million budget. So
that's a Universal flick, right?
It is.
So, you know, Jason Blum just entered a deal with Universal mm-hmm. where he gets first look.
Yeah.
And stuff, and he wants to revive the Dark Universe.
Yeah,
and he wants Friday the 13th.
Yeah,
and I was just like,
"There's a guy that can do it." It's
yeah, give it like home. You mucked it up the first time.
Yeah,
you may as well be like,
he mucked it up.
No, Universal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Universal like. Mucked it up. No,
oh, okay.
Jason Blum is just like, I'll turn chicken into chicken salad. Just give me whatever you got, and I can. Oh. It's not a problem.
Chicken salad's still pretty gross, though.
Chicken.
Okay.
I mean, your options.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah,
but.
But yeah, like I think if anybody's gonna
potato.
Yeah, if anybody's gonna fix it, I do think it's funny that they're just now coming around to him. He's like, we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah,
you do it.
I mean, he's busy. It's not like if there's a problem with any franchise, they just call up Jason Blum.
But it's as a horror franchise.
I know, but he's, know. I mean, he's pretty busy. I'm just saying, like, you know, you got to work out a deal. He's got to get paid, got to get the rights. Yeah. Like, you know, I a big franchise like that, you can't just be like, oh, what's a problem, Jason Blum?
You
come on in this weekend. Yeah, yeah, like, you know.
You don't have anything going
but
on.
If there's,
why do I feel like the next Dark Universe movie is going to be like the Mummy and the Creature from the Black Lagoon talking to each other on Skype?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Don't send Dracula a friend request.
Yeah. He'll never leave us alone. But no, I think, I mean, it's a smart move. Like, if Halloween works, and that'll be the lynch. I think that's the one that just, like, if it works, he can fix it.
And I mean, when's the last time they did Friday the 13th? I remember the Nightmare on Elm Street reboot, but I don't
remember.
It was
remember like 2009. And it wasn't,
yeah, it was
like,
around the same time.
Yeah, there was that. It was the Platinum Dunes, which is the Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Picked up the rights to just about everything. The only thing, I don't think they had Halloween, but they had Friday the 13th. They had Nightmare. They had, okay, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And they were pumping those out. Like, Massacre was 2003, and that was good. That's the Jessica Biel one, Running in the Rain. Just putting that out there.
Sounds romantic.
Yeah, it's very romantic. And then Friday
the
13th.
Can you stop bumping the table, Joe? Yeah.
The Friday the 13th was, they just did this, like, they figured out the model, and they just put, like, the Hollywood Michael Bay sheen on it.
Yeah.
And then Friday the Nightmare was Nightmare.
Yeah, gotcha.
That was not good.
Well, that is the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and people can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to find the show online, you can do so at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers or on iTunes, where you can go there, rate, review, subscribe, or Patreon.com/RealSpoilers, where you can give us your hard-earned money, and we will provide you with extra content. So,
yeah.
And extra love. So,
if Joe's feeling up to it that day.
So, anyway, that's it for this one. Coming up with the next one, we will be joined by Steve Kelly from Review STL, and we will dig into Crazy Rich Asians. Important to know, there's not a comma in the title.
Yeah?
Well, because, like, when it came out, when I first started hearing about it, I was like, wait, are they, like, crazy and rich Asians?
No.
Or are they crazy rich?
They're crazy rich.
They're crazy rich.
Yeah.
But it's a subtle but important distinction.
It's true.
No, absolutely. From the opening scene, it is affirmed they are crazy rich.
They are crazy
it's
rich.
It's apparent very quickly.
Yes. I always say that there's people with money and then there's people with FU money.
Right. That's what I said in the theater. I'm like.
And then there are these people.
Yeah. There you go.
So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. That's what we're doing next. Until then, you've been warned.
我想知道流星的飞多久它的魅力是否值得去寻求夜空的花散落在你身后幸福了我很久
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.